All right, time to look through the window of baseball with Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle, and it's brought to us by Marvin Windows and Doors and Truett and White, the professional builder's choice. Bruce, good morning on this Sunday. How are you?
Hey, Bruce.
Doing well. How are you guys doing?
Good. What is your day like today? We got a lot of action around the city today.
I'm going to be watching the Giants and the A's, and that's pretty much it. It's a quiet day. I don't have to write, so nothing particularly, Ben.
Very good. Well, we got Bumgarner today. And, you know, his last three have been just outstanding. Bruce, and I did this with Ron Wotus this morning. You think about strikeout pitchers. Do you think of him as a strikeout pitcher like a Jason Schmidt was? And he claimed he came close to that record on Tuesday night.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's the kind of guy where, you know, it's second and third and one out and or bases loaded, whatever, and there's no room for error. You know, you just got to get dispatch this guy and move on to the next guy. I think of him in that way, and especially against right-hand. You know, when he's facing left-hand hitters, of course, it can be a tremendous mismatch with those nasty sliders and curves. But he's at the point where it doesn't matter whether it's right or left. His breaking pitches down and into right-hand hitters are just about impossible to hit, or at least to square up. And so, yeah, I definitely put him in that category.
Yeah, well, Schmidt, you know, struck out 16 and always told me that he could control the game that way. And I guess that's what you're saying as well. When you have to get that big out, you can do it. Bruce, Oliver Orr has tweeted and he's installing windows in the heat up in Lake County. So he, too, is looking through the window of baseball with you. And he wants you to know that.
Yeah. Yeah, he's. You had a caller from Zurich earlier. I think he's in Zurich, Nevada.
Yeah, we have one from North Carolina. I like and Huntington Beach. We've got Mr. Einhorn down there. So I love to hear where people are here listening to the show. Bruce, looking at the Cardinals, and Pat and I touched on this just a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, 50 wins, 24 losses. The last team that did this, I think, with the White Sox in 05 to get off to this kind of start. You're talking Tigers, the Dodgers of 55, and the Cardinals of 44. How do you explain it? I mean, this is a team that Holiday is hurt. Wainwright is gone. Mm-hmm. Every time you turn around, somebody gets hurt. Davis is out for the year, and they get better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Adams was hurt. I mean, it's
Adams,
amazing.
That's Adams, right.
Yeah, it's amazing what they do. I mean, but you know, you look at the lineup, it's a tough out just about it. It's top to bottom, no matter who they put in there, it's a tough out. You know, guys like Wong and Carpenter, you know, these guys will just ding you to death, and then they'll go deep occasionally too. I mean, it's vintage Cardinals. We talk all the time about how they're relentlessly good, but this is they're outdoing themselves now because they've had so many injuries, and they should be right around the pack. You know, that's the way I would figure it. Just if you told me who was hurt and everything else, you'd figure they were right around the Pirates somewhere. But I don't know. They're gonna have that familiar place in the postseason, and the Giants will probably have to go through them again if they get that far. So it's something to look forward to.
Well, I don't know if this is the sole reason, but Bruce, the Cardinals have the best bullpen ERA in baseball, 2.04, and then the Royals second in baseball, 2.06. So who's leading the leagues? Those two teams. That's got to be indicative of why they're having, at least in a big reason, why both teams are having so much success this year.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, the Cardinals remind me of last year's Royals, and the Royals are doing it again to some extent. I mean, they've shut down the A's with that great bullpen late in the game, two days in a row now, kind of put a stop to the A's momentum. But, yeah, I mean, you look at the team that's got the deepest and best bullpen, you're going to have a team that's right near the top or at the top.
Yeah, I mean, starters go, what, five or six innings nowadays for the most part? And unless it's a horse like Bumgarner or Kershaw or someone of that ilk.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad we still have somebody like Bumgarner or Sonny Gray, you know, around here in the Bay Area who can go deep and might even finish a game, because I've always been, you know, enamored with the guys who can go deep and complete games. It's so rare now. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody goes five, and then here come four more guys, and they're all throwing like 95 with devastating cutters and sliders, and that becomes just a huge test the whole game for hitters, and everyone's a different look, so... That's the new trend, but thank goodness for guys like Bumgarner and Sonny Gray.
Bruce, you know, you go through a baseball season, there's so many subplots. And now I'll tell you, we're now launching July, August, and September. And take a look at the Giants' schedule in August, about the middle of August till the end of it. It's like devastating, and you got to get ready for it. And every spot on the roster becomes important. we've been down this road with the Giants for so many years and watching the transition of players, Armando Benitez and Sidney Ponson, and you know, I'm giving you the ones that don't seem to work out. Is Casey McGee, my God. Like he should say to himself, I'm going to try to hit into a double play. I'm going to try to do it. And
yeah,
see
let's
what
see
happens.
I can put the ball on the ground here, and I don't run too well. This could easily be a double play.
Yeah, I'm going to try to do it. I'm going to take this, I'm going to swing, and I'm hitting it right to the shortstop, and watch him hit one in the gap.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know how long they can carry this guy. I really don't. It's such a downer, and the fans are down on him. And he's not a guy like Pagan, who has sort of a natural flair, you know, great body language to him.
Yeah.
And it's a shame, you know. The guy's working hard, and he's been a good player. It's just bizarre. This has obviously been the wrong place for him. I think he needs a new start somewhere else. But I mean, you talk about the roster. It's really getting interesting now. I mean, Bochy's going to let Susak basically do the catching,
yeah.
And that's the future of the team. We're going to get a look at it here. I don't think anybody's. Would discount his chances to look real good in that role on a regular basis. And meanwhile, Posey gets a lot of time at first. You know, people think it's an easy position to play, but it's anything but that. He's pretty good over there with footwork and everything else, and he'll only get better.
But so what about Brandon Belt? What about Belt, Bruce? Belt?
Yeah. That's a little scary to me. I've always felt that. But, you know, he'll... he's a good athlete. I don't think he's going to look terrible out there. You know, there'll be some moments, maybe a bad route here or a throw. You know, when you're used to making infield throws and you're out there in the outfield, unless you throw it straight over the top, you'll find those long throws kind of tail on you a little bit. And that's something that I'm sure he'll be working on, and he'll get that down. He's got a good arm. I think he pissed it one time, didn't he, in Texas?
Yeah. Then I asked Augie Garrido about that when he was here. He was a college coach. I said, "What kind of a pitcher was He says, "He was a good first baseman."
He does have a strong arm, though. We know that.
Yes, he does.
A couple of his throws have not been online, and I think it has to do with that tailing process that you'll get.
But I'll tell you something. It becomes interesting, though. And, you know, you go back to Cepeda and McCovey and people like that, Harvey Keene, you know, and their positions were taken by other people, mm-hmm. and they had to move around, and it wasn't always successful. Do you think it'll be okay? Look, if Posey ends up at first and Susak hits 320, Belt's going to have a lot of action in left field. Do you think that actually can work, though?
I'm very skeptical about it. It's not so easy to go out there and play that position. I mean, he's not going to be Manny Ramirez or Hanley Ramirez,
right.
Or Solly Ramirez,
or Erasmo Ramirez either.
I think there's going to be some moments when it's going to cost him. I really do. That's nothing against Belt, who's a good athlete with a good arm, and he's going to give it his best out there. But I think there will be some moments.
You think we've seen the last of Tim Lincecum as a starting pitcher? And I say it simply because of, you know, what happened yesterday, and he probably is going to be the odd man out, at least the first odd man out.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's it's a free agent year for him, and he may not get back on the hill as a starter again.
It's possible. I mean, it depends on the health of the other guys. I would have to say that if the other, you know, the other five guys in that game outside of Bumgarner stay healthy, it probably is the end of it for this year. I mean, Bochy made a very telling comment yesterday saying he was concerned about his stuff and just flat out. And now he's hurt. He's going to be in the bullpen. Everybody knows he's going to be out there. And you know, with the situation they have, it just doesn't make sense to put him back in the rotation. But, you know, things happen awfully quickly. I mean, just as he, you know, takes one off the arm, I mean, who knows what could happen with Hudson or anybody. I mean, not to wish it on him by any means, but things happen. This is why the Giants are so good. Without they don't pin things down like, okay, in 2 weeks it's going to be this guy and this guy and this guy. This is what we would like to do. But sometimes these situations take care of themselves, and sure enough, Lincecum gets hurt, so that he's out of the equation, but it could change. I think we'll see him start for a month, though. I would say that.
Really? Okay.
Well, he had a good May. His ERA in May was really solid, and since May 25th, I believe, the ERA has grown large.
I think that, I say that because they're a little down on his stuff, and he's admitted that he's a little worried about his stuff. To me, when I watch Lincecum, it's always about the curve, the change of secondary pitches. If those things are breaking off the table, he's going to give you a ball game. And he said yesterday that those pitches were staying up in the zone, and that's worrisome for him. So he's got to work that out, and we'll see how it goes.
I think he goes to Sacramento on a rehab. And he does what Peavy did or what Kane did, and when they see what he does, the velocity and the command down there, then that's the way he comes back. Other than that, I don't see him starting again. I really don't.
No, I don't either. It's an interesting situation, but you know, if he does manage to help him out of the bullpen, you know, get a couple guys out or whatever it takes, or a long relief stint, that'll be valuable. Not that they're terribly short on guys like that, but we'll see.
I don't know if we talked about it yesterday, but there are a lot of things written this week about all-star voting and maybe a better way to do it than what we have now. Bruce Bochy said in the interview yesterday to me that he was thinking that what they were going to do is he would have to submit three names to be the starting pitcher, and the fans would vote on that next.
No.
So, Rob Manfred, you see where he's going with this thing. Is there an easy way to do this? I mean, to put some perspective on it, it's an exhibition. It's the fans' game. It's fun. The only thing that makes it crazy is that it counts.
The consequence.
Otherwise, you could play the game standing on your head. I don't care what you do or how you pick the players. But it actually matters.
To me, it always mattered as the game that you wanted to watch because it was so much fun. And to have seven guys from any team in the lineup, that's wrong whether it counts or not. I mean, that upsets me, no matter whether it counts or not. But the voting takes place for far too long, and there's far too many people in play. I heard once somebody suggested that the players come up with a list of who they think are the three or four best guys at every position, and then submit that to the fans. So you wouldn't even have an Omar Infante on there.
Right.
You wouldn't have a chance to make a fool of yourself. Everybody on there would be viable, and they would vote late. They wouldn't be voting, you know, 2 months ahead of time. That's a possibility. I still like the idea of a paper ballot at the game. You vote once, or if you come back to another game, you vote again.
Yep.
You can't vote 35 friggin' times, for God. What is that?
It's ridiculous. It's ludicrous, Bruce.
Plus, how did they come up with that number?
Preferably, I like 34.
Right. Well, maybe it's one vote for every player on the team. Is it 35 on the team? I don't know how they figured it out.
Well, Bruce, we talked yesterday that the Cardinals, I mean, Peralta may get in as a starter or someone of that ilk, right? But I'm just thinking the New York Yankees, the Bronx Bombers, they may not have representation in terms of the starting lineup come the All-Star game at Cincinnati. How about that? They're 3.5 out of first in the East, and I can't think of a Yankee starter.
No, I mean, you know, maybe Teixeira. I mean, oddly enough, Alex Rodriguez is having a...
He's having a good year, Bruce.
He's coming on strong. Yeah. You know what? I'd like to see him make the team. I really would. He's certainly not my favorite guy, but he's been through an awful lot. And he's come back with everybody in the world either expecting or hoping him to fail. Mm-hmm. And he's done a hell of a job. He might sneak in there somewhere.
Yeah, I think you mentioned Teixeira. I think he may be the most likely. I don't know if you saw Willian Rosario yesterday. He came up to the plate with an elbow guard. It looked like something out of the Knights of the Round Table. And you know...
Horrible.
Why?
They should all be banned. I don't care if you've got an elbow condition. If you've got an elbow condition, then get out of the lineup. Those things should be flat-out banned. I don't care if it's a grandmother clause or a great-aunt or a grandfather clause.
Yeah.
Out, out, out. Get it out. It's not fair. You can't just sit there and go hit me in the elbow and I'm fine.
Right.
Yeah, all right. While you're on a roll, what do you think about the wave?
The wave was done in 1983, I think, is about when it got uncool. I was there. It started, I think, at the University of Washington. But the A's made it famous with the 1980-81 A's at the Oakland Coliseum. It was very cool. It was a tremendous thing. And around 83, it got uncool, and it's been horrible ever since.
I mean, well, we had it yesterday.
Well, Friday night, too.
Was it Friday night also?
Yeah, and then yesterday, I suppose. So it's ridiculous, Bruce, and it impedes the view of people that want to watch the ball game. I don't know how you ban it, but it should be shamed out of the ballparks across America.
Meanwhile, if you stand up, then you're shamed. Hey, what's wrong with you, man? Right. Stand up, you know. Oh, my God. It's an amazingly dumb thing.
All right, back to baseball as we let Bruce wrap it up today. This is a good road trip coming up, Miami and Washington, especially if Kane and Fernandez on Thursday, and there's a rainout for Washington yesterday, I don't know what it does to their rotation. But Washington, like Pittsburgh, you know, they got knocked out by the Giants, and Pittsburgh came in here and played really good baseball. I would imagine Washington wants to establish something, say, look, we know you beat us, but I'm telling you, this is who we are. Try to do it again. I think it's going to be a fascinating weekend.
Oh, yeah. You know, the Miami series as well. I mean, the Giants catch a huge break with Stanton being out. And now there's talk in Miami as well. Now, did we just go ahead and become sellers and think about next year, which is just, you know, just a shame with the team that, the team that looks so good in spring training. But they're going to be dangerous. I mean, if, especially if Jose Fernandez can make that Thursday night start. They're going to be good. I don't know if Morris is going to play. It'd be nice if he can get in there. The Washington series will be really telling because, I mean, like you say, that's every fan in Washington flashes back. You know, the bad move by Matt Williams and the game that went forever that the Giants won. And you know, the Giants just had the upper hand on them in every way, on the field and in the manager seat and everything else. And now they need to make the big statement. They really feel like they should go all the way, and this would be a little step along the way, I think, if they can take that series.
All right, I love it. Bruce, thanks for the chat today, and we'll talk. And now we got July 4th on July 3rd next week, so maybe we'll talk to you on Friday as well.
Whatever you like, I'm
all
here.
Right. All right, thanks, Bruce.
Right on,
have
Bruce.
A good day.
Thank you.
All right, that is Bruce Jenkins. All right, more coming up. KBR 680, the sports leader.